We're beginning what is a new series today called Rest for Your Soul. And I want to begin by reading a passage that will be the thing that we anchor ourselves to for the month of September here. Just three verses you probably have heard before. If you've been around church at all, three verses that I think, therefore, we may easily move past quickly because we've heard them and we know them. And you know what I want to invite us to do here by spending a month on three verses is invite us to slow down and to try and be still enough to really pay attention to the words that are found here in Matthew 11. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." I want to begin with a question this morning, and it's not a surfacey sort of question. It's a question that's, you know, has some weight to it. We ask it all the time, but I'm asking it not kind of in a passing sort of way. I want to ask you how you are doing. I want to invite you to check in with yourself this morning. I imagine, I tell myself, that if we were to take a survey this morning, that we would probably hear some similar or common themes in response to that question. I wonder if most, if not all of us, might say things like, "I'm on edge. How am I doing? I'm on edge. There is so much uncertainty in the world that there's kind of this low-level hum of anxiety that I'm carrying around." Or maybe you might say in response, "I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with the world. I'm frustrated with my job. I'm frustrated that I don't have a job. I'm frustrated with relationships." Or maybe for you, you might say, "I'm worried." Again, connected to all the uncertainty that exists, I'm worried. Or maybe you might answer, "I'm lonely. I'm lonely, disconnected." Maybe you're angry. How are you doing? You're angry at the circumstances of your life, at the circumstances of the world. And maybe that might lead us all to say in some way, shape, or form, "How am I doing? I'm tired. I'm tired." Which, if we can remember pre-COVID, we may be able to recall that life always, for human beings, just living on this planet, which is a place that is not as it should be all the time, that alone can be exhausting. We would have answered that we were tired perhaps prior to COVID ever happening or the other things taking place in our world. But then, of course, you add everything else that is happening or has happened. And I'm just not sure there's a one of us who could say in some way, on some level, that we today are weary. Could be a physical weariness that we're aware of, like, always going to bed at 9:30 these days. I don't know what's going on, but you know, you maybe sense it in your body. You can feel the fatigue there. Maybe it's an emotional weariness, a mental weariness. You are just not as sharp. You're maybe more forgetful. These are kind of some of the signs of the fatigue. Or again, there might be relational weariness. We're carrying heavy burdens. And so how are you doing? How are you doing? Maybe to make this concrete, it might be helpful to ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, I need to go to sleep right now, or my tank is absolutely empty. That being a 1, and 10 being, I feel great, alive, energized, fully whole. Where would you put yourself? Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. On prom night, my senior year, I dropped off my date and headed to my friend's house where a few of us were meeting up to spend the night. And you need to know about me in order for this story to make sense, that I have never been a night person. It's just not in me. Some of you are wired to be alive and awake at night. I'm not. And this night, it was late when I dropped off my date, 11:15 maybe. You know what I mean? Like, whoo, I needed to be in bed. But there I was dropping her off, and I needed to make a 20-minute drive instead to my friend's house. And there was this small concern in the back of my mind, knowing that I perhaps had never been out on the road that late at night by myself. I had an early curfew. That, you know, was this a good idea to be driving 20 minutes alone so late at night? But I told myself, I'm fine. I'm not tired. It's prom night, senior year, man. Come on. I'm good. So I started to drive. And the first bit felt great. I was riding the high of all that had been that evening. And then all of a sudden, I hit a wall. And the first clue that I hit this wall of fatigue was that my head was to my chest and my eyes were closed. I mean, that kind of alerted me that, oh my gosh, you're tired. But no big deal. Roll down the window, put on some Boys to Men, it's going to be fine, right? And so singing to the top of my lungs, head out the window, I pressed on. I'm not tired, I told myself. Of course, it wasn't true. My eyes were heavy. My head continued to nod up and down, but I'm fine. I'll make it. I'll be okay. Just keep going. You're almost there. And then suddenly, I woke up to find myself no longer driving on the road, but traveling off-road in a non-off-road vehicle. You know, about 40 miles an hour, about 5 feet off the road, traveling through some tall grass and little trees. That's what I woke up to. And so I jerked the wheel and by some miracle popped out back onto the road. And I was quite literally 50 yards from my friend's driveway. I was so close that I just pulled in and parked the car. And when I turned it off, my whole body was shaking. Now, at the start of that trip, I didn't realize how tired I was. I didn't realize it. I thought I was great. I felt energized. It'd been such a great time. And then even though when the clear signs of weariness began to show up, I just dismissed them, explained them away, told myself I was fine. I just needed to press on. And this story, to me, it sounds awfully familiar to other times in my life. And I'm not talking about other times in which I was driving late at night. I'm I'm talking about seasons in my life where I don't realize how tired I am. I mean, the signs are everywhere, at least they often are to the people in my life. Others look at me and say, well, you look tired. Hey, are you doing okay? You know, other folks can notice that I'm worn down by anxiety, or I'm thin because of the stress. But often I don't realize it. And sometimes that's because I'm too prideful to admit that I'm tired. Who, me? Chris DeBlay, tired? Psh, no. In need of a break? Uh-uh. I'm doing great. I just gotta keep going. So sometimes I don't see it, or I don't want to see it because of pride. Sometimes I'm too busy. Because if I just stay busy, then I don't need to deal with what's really going on under the surface, right? I don't have to investigate why I might be exhausted. I don't have to change anything. I can just keep going if I stay busy enough. And that's connected, I think, sometimes often to fear. I don't realize I'm tired because I'm scared that if I stop, if I rest, well, then I'll have to face whatever complexity, whatever difficulty, whatever part of myself or the world is not as it should be. I'm going to have to face that if I stop and admit that I'm tired. So I just keep driving. There have been numerous periods in my life when I've told myself, I was fine. I'm fine. It's all fine. And only when I finally drove off the road did I realize how untrue that was. I wasn't fine. I was weary and I needed rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I want to hit the pause button here this morning, quite literally on the sermon. Hit the pause button. And I want to give you an opportunity to reflect on this verse and on the three verses as a whole. This is something I think not only can adults do here for the next 3 or 4 minutes, I think it's something that students can certainly do as well. Even I think children can do it, young children. You could ask a young child in your presence this morning to put on a scale of 1 to 10 how tired they are, and then to just write down or to draw themselves, what they see of themselves, or the things in their life that are maybe making them tired, or what they would like to do to become more awake, to become more alive. You could have your children in your midst certainly participate in a variety of ways. For those of you who are a little older, here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to ask two questions. The first one is this: where is there conflict for you in this passage? And by conflict, this is what I mean. Does a word or phrase challenge you in some way? Okay. Does it help you see something in your life that is in need of grace and repentance? How might these words disrupt and help change what you think or how you are living? So one question to consider here for the next few moments is, where is there conflict for you? Where does this passage, how might it challenge you, disrupt the status quo for you? And then the other question, where is there clarity for you in this passage? Does a word or phrase help something in your life become more clear? Does it bring clarity about you, about who God is, about this world and your place in it, what to do, how to be, what to say? One of those two questions may really grab you here in the next few moments. You certainly don't have to reflect on both of them. And if you don't find either of them helpful, that's okay too. But I would invite you then to simply ask, what about this passage strikes you? What is it saying to you this morning? We're going to take a good 3 or 4 minutes here for you to be reflective and to consider these questions. And then we're going to come back, and I am going to invite you, just a little heads up, I am going to invite you to share a word or a phrase or an idea from this. And there will be no pressure to do that whatsoever, but you'll have the chance, if you want, to type a word or a phrase in the chat window, or if you're even feeling so inclined, to unmute yourself and to say a little something to us as well about what strikes you when you read these verses from Matthew 11. So let's take a few minutes here and we'll come back together to share what we have heard. All right, so let me invite you to begin to come back to this space. We have some folks who have already started to put some things in the chat window, which is beautiful. So you can see those there. Someone said a conflict with the word yoke, it feels heavy, even though it says that it's supposed to be light. And Petter, it looks like the Petter household or someone over there agrees with that. Debbie is talking about here being willing to be taught. That struck her. And then I wonder whose yoke I'm carrying, since Jesus says his is light and mine feels heavy. So Bethany is asking that question. This passage challenged her to consider that. It's great. I want to invite you to keep putting some things here in the chat window. And you can definitely, as some of you are doing, just agree with people. When something resonates with you, you can make a note of that. I think that's always an encouragement. And if someone would like, we'd love to hear from, you know, a few people. Is there anyone who'd be willing to just unmute themselves and give voice to what they're experiencing? From the Frenzy household. Rest and yet carrying something. How does that work? Right? Jesus doesn't promise a release of carrying anything at all. He doesn't say, hey, you just get to take the yoke off and be free. No, you're going to still put another one on. It's very interesting. We'll talk more about that in the next couple of weeks. You know, as I shared earlier, I often don't realize that I'm tired. One of the conflicts that this passage creates for me is I have to wrestle. If I'm really engaging this text, I really have to wrestle with whether or not I am tired. It forces me, in a sense, to ask that question and to answer it. Am I tired? Am I weary? Good. What else struck you? A word, a phrase, an idea? Hopefully you get the sense here. We're not really looking for the right answer. That's not what this time is about. We're trying to give space for each other to give voice to what we may be noticing. Thanks, Chris. You're noticing that just how inviting that the teacher is gentle and humble to receive us, especially when we are so tired. Yeah. That's meaningful to me too. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that question, Mel. I think that's honest. For kind of, you know, playing within this metaphor, if we're kind of thinking it through, what happens if we fall? Again, I appreciate the honesty of that question. I'm going to read this, not because all of you who see the chat window can't read it, but if you're listening to this on a podcast, you wouldn't be able to see these questions. So I think Bethany just asked or said, it's interesting to think about how a physical body responds to carrying load and how we can adjust to different yokes over time. This could be both a strength and an asset, and maybe also a way of ignoring the weight. That's very interesting. Very interesting. Good. Well, I appreciate the honesty here, the curiosity as well. You know, a number of you are asking questions, as much as you are saying, you know, this is what I see, or this is the definitive thing that I'm taking away. And I appreciate that curiosity as well. And some of you are just really quite wonderfully observant. You're noticing some interesting and confusing, perhaps, and beautiful things here in these few verses. So thank you for all of that. Let me share one thing that struck me to kind of close here this morning. And I think maybe Chris Miller, it kind of connects to what you were saying, perhaps. And it's the word come. It's the first word that Jesus uses. And I'm just struck at in my reading, at least, that this is a word of compassion and not coercion. When I was thinking about this passage this week, what struck me is that these verses tell us, I think, that when Jesus looked out on the world, he saw that many of the people were worn down. He saw and noticed the weight that so many people were carrying. Our pain, our weariness was not lost on him. In other words, Jesus was not aloof, detached from what was going on in the lives of the people around him. He was aware. He saw us, and his response to our weariness was compassion. Come, he says, I have something better for you. Come, there is a way of living that won't break your back and your spirit. Come, you can put down that burden. You don't have to haul it around anymore. Christ sees our staggered steps, our tired minds and bodies, and he is moved to compassion. As it always is with Jesus, there's no coercion. Christ will not force you to come, manipulate you, shame you into accepting his invitation. No, the choice is ours and ours alone. And maybe that is the question for this morning. What will we do with this invitation? One way that we can respond to this invitation is what I would call dismissal. Like me on prom night saying, who, me? I'm fine. I'm not tired. I'll be fine. It will be fine. It is fine. It's all fine. Instead of saying that and dismissing the invitation, I think another response would be one of confession. I am tired. I am weary. This invitation is for me. I need rest. Something has to change. Again, in the coming weeks, we'll talk about the yoke and what that metaphor might mean, and we'll probably ask more questions about it and explore it together. But as we begin this look at this short little passage here, I want to invite us to really think about just that simple word of invitation, that word come. And how do we see that invitation? Do we see this as an invitation for us, or is this just for somebody else? And if it is for us, if it's for me, what might that mean? What would it look like? What would it mean for me to accept that invitation, to move toward Christ, to begin moving in that direction? What might that mean for me? What might I have to do or say? We can hold all of those questions, I think, as we come to the table this morning. This is your little cue to grab whatever you might need for communion. As the disciples gathered around that table,